WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. A looming vote this morning that could upend Hollywood. The Actors Union, SAG-AFTRA, expected to vote to go on strike today. The threat of artificial intelligence and residuals from streaming, key sticking points.
Many actors argue that the residuals from streaming don't compare and don't sustain them in the same way that they used to years ago.
Anusha Sakui, staff writer for the LA Times. The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers at odds with the actors. For the first time, the FDA has approved an over-the-counter birth control pill. There will not be any age restrictions on purchasing it. The daily pill, called O-Pill, will likely hit shelves early next year. Parts of the U.S. suffering with severe weather. At least 8 reported tornadoes in the Chicago area, one hitting near O'Hare Airport, disrupting hundreds of flights. This is ABC News. Due in court today, the suspect in the murder of a surgeon in Tennessee, Dr. Benjamin Mock, was killed in an exam room at his office. The man accused, Larry Pickens, is being held on over $1 million bail. Sheriff's deputies in northern Los Angeles County facing questions over an incident last year where a deputy allegedly punched a black woman in the face. ABC's Alex Stone.
This is a moment when a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy in Palmdale is heard allegedly punching a woman in the face. She was in a car with her 3-week-old baby. The car had no headlights on and the driver was allegedly intoxicated. The baby was not in a car seat, so deputies were taking the baby for child neglect. LA County Sheriff Robert Luna, who was not sheriff last year when it occurred.
Completely unacceptable.
The case now given to the FBI and prosecutors to decide if that deputy should be charged. Alex Stone, ABC News in Los Angeles County.
Justin Finch, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. The Northern Wisconsin State Fair continues today in Chippewa Falls. The event, in its 125th year, saw a record crowd of over 100,000 people attend last year. Executive Director Rusty Volk said improvements to facilities at the fair are long overdue.
It's pretty awesome. So yes, we had to rebuild barns, replace old barns, and finally, after 14 years, we've come to that conclusion to get her done.
5 new buildings were built in part to increase space for animal exhibits. The fair runs through Sunday and features musical acts Justin Moore, Nelly, and Styx. And speaking of music, today is the first day of Rockfest in Kidat. A 3-day music festival, which sold out of campsites and premium seating months ahead of time, includes headliners Pantera, Slipknot, and Godsmack. You can buy general admission tickets at the gate. And after a rainy Wednesday, temperatures today will be a little bit warmer. There's still some chances of scattered showers and storms here in western Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Minutes after 9 o'clock now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We're discussing several topics on this Thursday morning. And if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, feel free to call. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And if you want to send me an email message, you can do that as well. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. And Stu is spelled S-T-U. We've been discussing several different topics today, and among them, the war in Ukraine and the fact that President Biden was at the NATO summit for the past couple of days. And I understand he's about to do a news conference there, and we'll monitor that and see if anything important comes out of it. But it used to be that when a defense bill was working its way through Congress, Republicans were always on board, right? They were always big supporters of defense funding. But now it seems like things are changing. And the reason is because of culture war issues like abortion, gender, race. And what do those have to do with the defense of the United States? That's the question. And this headline from the New York Times says, GOP's far right seeks to use the defense bill to defund the Ukraine war effort. The group's proposals have no chance of passage, but they have further mired the military spending bill in a partisan fight and highlighted Republican divisions over the war. And this was just posted last night, updated a few minutes ago. Says a group of right-wing House Republicans pushing to load up the annual defense bill with socially conservative policies on abortion, race, and gender have another demand: severe restrictions on U.S. military support for Ukraine. The pressure has set the stage for a divisive floor fight beginning on Thursday over backing for the war effort, just as President Biden tries to rally European allies to support Kyiv in its conflict with Russia. The group's proposals on military aid stand no chance of passing the House, where strong bipartisan support for backing Ukraine's war effort continues, or going anywhere in the Senate. But the far right's insistence on casting votes on the matter anyway has further imperiled the defense legislation and transformed what is ordinarily a broadly supported measure that provides the annual pay raise to U.S. military personnel and sets Pentagon policy into a partisan battleground that has placed Republican divisions on display. Now, let me ask you this. How do you feel about Republicans holding up pay raises for those in the military? I would say that's not a good idea on their part. I imagine if you're in the military and you're looking forward to these annual pay raises, you might be a little ticked off at these Republicans who are holding this up. It says the House on Thursday, today, was set to begin casting votes on some of the measures after Republican leaders agreed in the wee hours to the demands of ultra-conservative lawmakers who insisted on votes to scale back Ukraine aid and add social policy dictates. Among the measures set to be considered is one that would end a $300 million program to train and equip Ukrainian soldiers that has been in place for nearly a decade, and another to prohibit the Biden administration from sending cluster munitions to Kyiv. Quote, Congress should not authorize another penny for Ukraine and push the Biden administration to pursue peace. Who do you think said that? Well, if you said Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican from Georgia, and the author of the proposals, you're right. She said that to the Rules Committee this week as she made the case. And she said, Ukraine is not the 51st state of the United States of America. It says here, Republican leaders also acquiesced to the hard right's demands for votes on a range of socially conservative restrictions for the military. Among them are a measure undoing a Pentagon policy providing time off and reimbursement to service members traveling out of state to obtain an abortion or other reproductive health services. Another forbidding the military's health plan from covering gender transition surgeries, which are not available to troops without a waiver, or gender-affirming hormone treatments, and a provision blocking the Pentagon from spending any money on diversity, equity, and inclusion training. And if you're not aware of it, our military is one of the most diverse organizations anywhere, people of all types in our military, but some Republicans don't want to spend any money on diversity, equity, and inclusion training. It says here, Representative Scott Perry, Republican from Pennsylvania, and the chairman of the Conservative House Freedom Caucus, had said that votes to curtail support for Ukraine were every bit as important to the members of his group as votes to restrict abortion access and services for transgender soldiers. Asked whether some might seek to block the bill without such votes, he replied, they might. Because Speaker Kevin McCarthy holds only a slim margin of control in the House, a rebellion by the right wing could stop the defense measure in its tracks, denying him the votes he would need from his side to advance it to final passage. He bowed to their wishes early Thursday, paving the way for votes on Ukraine that promised to put divisions in Congress over the war on display at a critical junction in Kyiv's counteroffensive against Russia. And just after Mr. Biden has appealed to allies this week during a NATO summit to remain united in support. So here's a quote from Gregory Meeks of New York, congressman, Democrat. Says here, we can see from what's taken place at the NATO summit the significance and importance of us all speaking with one voice and making sure that we're giving the Ukrainians what they need to win this war. Representative Gregory Meeks of New York, the top Democrat on the Foreign Affairs Committee, said in an interview on Wednesday, quote, it will be absolutely the worst thing to do to have a show of division. That's playing right into Putin's hands, end quote. Some mainstream Republicans say they relish the fight, seeing it as a potential opportunity to put the rebellious right wing of the party in its place. Quote, it's going to fail big time. Representative Mike Rogers, Republican from Alabama, said of the hard right's bid to scrap U.S. support for Ukraine, quote, "So I hope they make it in order. I think you'll see it go down overwhelmingly," end quote. The defense bill is the latest forum right-wing lawmakers have been using to challenge McCarthy's leadership. Their protest, which began during the protracted speaker fight in January, resumed last month when 11 far-right lawmakers brought the House floor to a standstill to express their fury at McCarthy's debt ceiling deal with Biden. They have threatened similar tactics in the future if he fails to bow to their demands. McCarthy had been bracing for a difficult fight over Ukraine funding in the coming months when the Biden administration is expected to request billions of dollars to keep Kyiv's war machine humming. Hoping to head off a revolt from the right wing, the speaker publicly declared he was opposed to any additional funding for Ukraine beyond the limits of the debt ceiling deal, despite having publicly proclaimed just weeks before, "I vote for aid for Ukraine. I support aid for Ukraine," end quote. But with the defense bill, the ultra-conservative faction has forced the issue. Ukraine assistance is a tricky topic for Republicans politically. Both of the frontrunners for the 2024 Republican nomination, Trump and DeSantis, have said they would like to limit U.S. assistance. According to a recent poll by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, while more than 70% of Republicans want to see Ukraine win the war, only half support sending U.S. military aid to help the country defeat Russia. Last year, 57 House Republicans voted against a measure to provide $40 billion in military and humanitarian assistance for Ukraine. Congress approved a total of more than $113 billion in Ukraine aid last year. House Republican leaders expressed confidence on Wednesday that they could defeat any proposal to strip funding for Ukraine, thus preserving the integrity of the underlying defense bill, but they worried aloud about the social policy measures, which they noted would alienate Democrats whose votes would be needed to pass the bill. But the proposals on abortion, race, and gender could be more difficult, they warned. So that's the latest update on the defense bill that should be passed. But sounds like some Republicans want to throw a wrench into things. 18 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Stay tuned. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
This weather is brought to you by Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Bring the whole family to see Toy Story for our free movie day this Thursday. And join us Friday, Saturday, or Sunday for The Princess Bride and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Showtimes and more at AmoryTheater.com.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 82, winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 59, partly cloudy skies. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 84, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 64.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
And admit that the waters around you have grown. And accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Or the times, they are a-changing.
Yes, indeed. Times, they are a-changing. 21 minutes, almost 22 minutes after 9 o'clock now. Bob Dylan on a Thursday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We got 65 degrees in La Crosse right now. It's 64 degrees in Richland Center. We've been discussing several topics today, and let me ask my producer, Aaron, are you a fan of Mexican food? Do you like going out to Mexican restaurants?
Oh, definitely, especially the smaller local ones, like if it's run by a family or something.
Yeah.
The more of a hole in the wall it is, the better the food tends to be.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, some of them use their family recipes for some of the good stuff they're dishing out to their customers. And let me ask you this. Do you ever make guacamole?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't have any fancy recipe for that, though. I like it big and chunky with avocados, tomatoes, some onions. I don't really put lime in there because it makes it a little bit harder to just taste the avocado as is, and I like that taste.
Right. Yep. I agree with you on that. I have a hack for making some guacamole. If you want to whip some up real quick and you don't feel like going through all the trouble of chopping vegetables, chopping tomatoes and onions and stuff, what I'll do sometime if I'm in a hurry is I'll just smash the avocado and then throw in a couple of teaspoons of salsa from a jar. And mix that in with some salt and maybe some garlic powder or cumin. And that's a quick way to do it. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because it looks like Chipotle now has a robot to make guacamole. And I guess they're just in the testing phase of this. But according to the story from the New York Times, Chipotle is hiring a robot to do a task employees hate, and this was posted yesterday, says avocado preparation is one of Chipotle employees' least favorite responsibilities. The avocado cutting robot is expected to slice guacamole prep time in half. It's called the Autocado. All right, Autocado. It's designed to cut, core, and peel avocados. Chipotle has also been testing out a chip making robot since 2022. One of the funny things about the chip making robot is that they intentionally want the chips to come out imperfect. Otherwise, it looks like they were made by a robot. And the story here says Chipotle Mexican grill workers can lay down their avocado slicers and de-pitters. The fast food chain is testing out a robot to take over the job. While making guacamole takes employees around 50 minutes, I guess they're making those big batches of it, right? The avocado cutting robot is expected to slice that prep time in half, the company said, while the AutoCado robot is designed to efficiently cut, core, and peel avocados and eliminate food waste. Chipotle employees will still be responsible for hand mashing the avocado and adding extra ingredients to make the guacamole. And the quote here says, "We are committed to exploring collaborative robotics to drive efficiencies and ease pain points for our employees." Kurt Garner, Chief Customer and Technology Officer at Chipotle, said in a news release, the AutoCado is one of a handful of initiatives Chipotle has rolled out recently that the company says will help make their employees' lives a little easier, like faster grills and ways to streamline complicated orders that go viral on TikTok. The robot could be good news for some employees. Avocado preparation is one of Chipotle employees' least favorite responsibilities, Kurt Garner, Chief Customer and Technology Officer at Chipotle, told CNBC. Chipotle's robot could also help alleviate lingering labor shortages that have swept across the restaurant industry. Chipotle isn't alone in adding automated labor to their restaurants. Brands like McDonald's and Taco Bell are testing out AI-powered voice bots. Nearly 58% of restaurant operators expect more restaurants to utilize tech and automation to alleviate labor shortages this year, according to the 2023 State of the Restaurant Industry Report by the National Restaurant Association. Last year, Chipotle started testing the chip-making robot called Chippy, which was intentionally designed to make imperfect tortilla chips. For Chippy, Chipotle partnered with Miso Robotics, the company behind burger flipping and wing frying robots used by White Castle and Buffalo Wild Wings. So evidently, White Castle has a burger flipping robot and Buffalo Wild Wings has a wing frying robot. To develop the AutoCado robot, Chipotle worked with Vibu Labs, a food industry robotics startup. Currently, the robot is being tested in Chipotle's test kitchen in Irvine, California, before being deployed to its restaurants. Chipotle is also investing in Vibu, a part of the fast food chain's $50 million Cultivate Next venture. Future investments could include farming and supply chain innovations, as well as advanced robotics, Chipotle said in a press release. So there may come a time when you go to your local Chipotle and get some guacamole made by a robot. 28 minutes after 9 o'clock, stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. European diplomacy. President Biden in Helsinki, Finland, wrapping up a summit with Nordic leaders, including the president of Finland, marking that country joining the NATO alliance.
It's a different era in the nature of our relationship, and bringing along Sweden as well makes a gigantic difference. So I'm anxious to continue to work with you.
Finland joining NATO at the organization's gathering this week in Lithuania. Biden returns to Washington tonight. Hollywood on the verge of a crippling strike. The actors' union, SAG-AFTRA, expected to take a vote today on whether members should walk the picket line. They're at odds over streaming royalties with major TV, movie, and streaming studios. Extreme weather gripping parts of the country. At least 8 reported tornadoes, one hitting near O'Hare Airport, disrupting hundreds of flights. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Lake Air 1260 AM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. In a special session last night, the Eau Claire County Board voted to get rid of its chairperson. Nick Smyer was removed as board chair on a 17-9 vote. After the motion discussed and focused on how he handled the investigation into spending by the county's Department of Health Services, which was $3 million over budget in 2019. The board was also set to discuss the county administrator position in closed session, but postponed the agenda item. The Northern Wisconsin State Fair continues today in Chippewa Falls. The event, in its 125th year, saw a record crowd of over 100,000 people attend last year. 5 new buildings were built in part to increase space for animal exhibits. The fair runs through Sunday and features musical acts Justin Moore, Nelly, and Styx. And speaking of music, today is the first day of Rockfest in Kidott. The 3-day music festival, which sold out of campsites and premium seating months ahead of time, includes headliners Pantera, Slipknot, and Godsmack. You could buy general admission tickets at the gate. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Right now, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, discussing several topics in the news today. There's a lot going on. And hey, Aaron, did you get to see any of the highlights from that Judiciary Committee hearing yesterday where your Republican lawmakers were attacking FBI Director Christopher Wray as being biased against conservatives? Have you gotten to see any of the highlights of that?
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of it earlier today, and it's ridiculous, and there's a whole lot of name-calling and asking questions that obviously, as a professional in, like, basically the biggest police and investigation thing in the U.S., you can't answer. Like, is President Biden being investigated? The answer? Well, I can't tell you that. That's my job to not tell you that. You can ask someone else. But they just kept poking at me like, okay, well, I guess you don't know what you're doing then.
Yeah. I think they were playing to their Fox News audience. And one of the strangest things is when they accuse FBI Director Christopher Wray as being biased against conservatives. Of course, his response was that that's an insane comment. Not only is Mr. Wray, the FBI director, a Republican and has been all of his life, he's also a member of the Federalist Society. So he's obviously a pretty conservative Republican. But these Republican lawmakers want to make a show of how they're pushing back against the FBI, and mainly because the FBI is in or has investigated Donald Trump. But I found this story from the HuffPost, and this is about the hearing yesterday. It says Representative Ted Lieu from California gives Trump-loving Republicans a scathing criminal reminder. Representative Ted Lieu pushed back on Republican claims that the Justice Department is targeting Donald Trump with a reminder of why the former president and those closest to him have been in legal hot water. The moment came during a Judiciary Committee hearing in which Republican lawmakers repeatedly attacked FBI Director Christopher Wray as biased against conservatives. Wray called that insane, given his background as a Republican who was appointed to his position by Donald Trump and had previously served in the administration of President George W. Bush. Lieu backed him up with a series of pointed questions naming figures close to Trump who have faced charges, including longtime friend and advisor Roger Stone, donor Elliot Broidy, personal attorney Michael Cohen, and campaign manager Paul Manafort, and were all convicted under Trump-appointed attorneys general, quote, "It is not the fault of the FBI that Donald Trump surrounded himself with criminals," Lieu concluded. "Donald Trump brought that upon himself. Thank you to the FBI for exposing the cesspool of corruption of these Trump associates." So if you have a chance to check out any of the highlights from that committee hearing yesterday, it would be worth checking out. Especially if you want to see the hypocrisy of the Republicans. So if you are a champion of women's rights, you probably know that the Equal Rights Amendment is something that's been around for about 100 years. Should women have the same rights as men? And even though this Equal Rights Amendment has been around for so long, it still hasn't been passed. It's still not part of the Constitution. Well, there may be some movement on that now. And this headline here says Democrats try a novel tactic to revive the Equal Rights Amendment. This is from the New York Times. It says proponents of the measure to enshrine a guarantee of sex equality into the Constitution are using a creative legal theory to try to resurrect the long-stalled amendment. And the story starts out, by the way, this was just posted this morning. It says Democrats in Congress are making a fresh push for the nearly century-old Equal Rights Amendment to be enshrined in the Constitution, rallying around a creative legal theory in a bid to revive an amendment that would explicitly guarantee sex equality as a way to protect reproductive rights in a post-Roe America. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York and Representative Cori Bush of Missouri are set to introduce a joint resolution on Thursday stating that the measure has already been ratified and is enforceable as the 28th Amendment to the Constitution. The resolution states that the National Archivist, who is responsible for the certification and publication of constitutional amendments, must immediately do so. It's a novel tactic for pursuing a measure that was first proposed in Congress 100 years ago and was approved by Congress about 50 years later, but not ratified in time to be added to the Constitution. Proponents say the amendment has taken on new significance after the Supreme Court's ruling last year in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization that overturned the abortion rights long guaranteed by Roe v. Wade. Quote, in light of Dobbs, we're seeing vast discrimination across the country, Ms. Gillibrand said in an interview. Women are being treated as second-class citizens. This is more timely than ever, end quote. While almost 80% of Americans supported adding the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution in a 2020 Pew Research Center poll, there's little chance that the effort will draw the 60 votes necessary to overcome a Republican filibuster in the Senate. But the Democrats' push is their latest effort to spotlight Republican opposition to social policy measures with broad voter approval and to call attention to the party's hostility to abortion rights, which hurt Republicans in the midterm elections. Quote, this is a political rather than a legal struggle, said Lawrence Tribe, the constitutional scholar and professor emeritus at Harvard Law School. Quote, it would succeed only in a different environment than we have. It's not going to pass. The real question is what political message is being sent. In a political environment like this, you can throw at the wall whatever you can. End quote. This is Democrats' second attempt this year to advance the Equal Rights Amendment. In April, Senate Republicans blocked a similar resolution that sought to remove an expired deadline for states to ratify the amendment. Only two Republican senators, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine, voted for the resolution. Now, Ms. Gillibrand and Ms. Bush are trying a different approach. They are simply ignoring the issue of the expired ratification deadline altogether and introducing a resolution that argues that the ERA is already the law of the land. Quote, this is an opportunity to start fresh with a legitimate legal theory that has basis in constitutional law, Ms. Gillibrand said, noting that the reference to the deadline was in the preamble, not the text of the amendment itself. Quote, I believe President Biden can just do this. I'm going to make the legal and political argument over the next several months that this is something he can do, end quote. Ms. Bush, a founder of the Equal Rights Amendment Caucus in the House, said that, quote, for us, it is already done. The ERA is the 28th Amendment. We just need the archivist to publish it, end quote. At issue is the complex procedure for adding an amendment to the Constitution, which requires passage by both houses of Congress and ratification by three-quarters of the states, in this case, within a seven-year deadline. Congress passed the Equal Rights Amendment in 1972 and subsequently enacted a law extending that deadline to 10 years. But by 1982, only 35 states had ratified. Since then, three more states, Nevada, Illinois, and Virginia, have ratified the amendment, surpassing the threshold, but some others have rescinded their ratifications. That has left the amendment in a legal and political limbo, its fate left in the hands of Congress and the courts. Russ Feingold, the former Wisconsin senator who serves as president of the American Constitution Society, said he supported the Democrats' new strategy. And here's a quote from Wisconsin's Russ Feingold. He said, "For the institution that actually put this limitation of the deadline on to say, actually, it doesn't matter, really is significant. The White House and members of Congress are beginning to see that credible legal scholars are saying this is already part of the Constitution," end quote. There is nothing straightforward or clear about the constitutional amendment process, and legal experts said that each of the Constitution's amendments have taken a unique path to ratification. The 27th Amendment, which states that members of Congress cannot raise or lower their salaries in the middle of their terms, languished for more than 200 years before it was ratified. But Democrats are more eager than ever to make a new push for the amendment in the wake of the Dobbs decision. The key section of the amendment, with just 24 words, is packed with potential to protect access to abortion care nationwide, defeat bans on gender-affirming health care, shore up marriage equality, eliminate the gender wage gap, help end the epidemic of violence against women and girls, and so much more. Ms. Bush said, "We have to just keep pushing it. We can't fall victim to the Republican agenda," end quote. Ms. Bush and other Democrats argue that the ability to control one's reproductive system is essential to equality in the workplace and in public life. Those arguments have carried the day in some states where parties have used state-level equal rights amendments to strike down restrictions on reproductive care. In New Mexico, the state's Supreme Court struck down a law banning funding for abortion-related services, citing the state equal rights amendment that, quote, allows for equality of rights for persons regardless of sex, end quote. In Pennsylvania, advocates and providers are suing the state for banning Medicaid funding for abortion, arguing that it is a violation equal protection provisions in the state constitution. Quote, "In 2023, we should move forward to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment with all due haste, because if you look at the terrible things happening to women's rights in this country, it's clear that we must act," Senator Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, said in April when the Senate first took up the issue. Well, that'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Seems like 100 years is enough time. If enough states have already ratified it, maybe it's time to just make it an amendment. That's what the Democrats are saying. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Above us, only sky. Imagine all.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 82. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 59. Partly cloudy skies. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 84. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 65.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
About 3 or 4 years ago, and the journey was on. She got a job at a local.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:51 right now. And let me ask my producer, Aaron, if the strike in Hollywood, the writer's strike, has affected your television viewing habits.
It hadn't until yesterday when we found out that some particular things that the executive said. And now after that, I am much more inclined to stick to stuff I own on DVD or anything like that.
Interesting. My viewing habits have changed, definitely, because since the strike started, I haven't watched much late night television. I was a regular viewer of Stephen Colbert and also Saturday Night Live. But since the strike started, they've all been reruns. So I haven't even been paying attention. But now it looks like the strike may get even worse because now actors say they are walking out. I have a story here from the New York Times that says Hollywood shutdown looms as actors say contract talks have collapsed. So SAG-AFTRA is the actors' union. They represent 160,000 television and movie actors, and they're ready to go on strike. And it may have already started. It's supposed to happen today. And they'll be joining the screenwriters who have already been out on strike for over 70 days. The story here says Hollywood's first industry-wide shutdown in 63 years neared certainty, with the union representing 160,000 television and movie actors poised to call a strike as soon as Thursday, today, and join screenwriters who walked off the job in May. And by the way, Aaron, I mentioned here that the last time they had an industry-wide shutdown was 63 years ago. Do you know who was the head of the union 63 years ago?
I do not.
It was... Believe it or not, this is so ironic. It was Ronald Reagan.
That is very interesting.
He was the leader of the actors union 63 years ago, the last time that the whole industry shut down. And of course, it was only a few years later. Well, it was around 1981 when he got into office that he disbanded the air traffic controllers union and set the stage for all types of unions losing power over the course of his presidency. And I would say that the unions still haven't recovered from that, although in recent years we've seen some progress. This story goes on and says SAG-AFTRA, as the union is known, said at nearly 1 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday that negotiations with Hollywood studios over a new contract had collapsed. and that its negotiating board had voted unanimously to recommend a strike. The previous three-year contract expired at 11:59 p.m. after an extension from June 30th to allow for continued talks. The union's national board was scheduled to meet at 9 a.m. Pacific for a final strike vote, and that would be coming up, what, about an hour our time. Pickets could start later on Thursday. Fran Drescher. Aaron, you remember who Fran Drescher is?
Not off the top of my head, no.
She was in that TV show called The Nanny. You remember?
Oh, that Fran. Yes. Yes. I know who that is.
Yeah. Well, she's now the president of the union, and she called the response by studios at the bargaining table, quote, insulting and disrespectful. Here's a quote. She said, the companies have refused to meaningfully engage on some topics, and on others completely stonewalled us, Ms. Drescher said in a statement. Until they do negotiate in good faith, we cannot begin to reach a deal, end quote. Actors and screenwriters have not been on strike at the same time since 1960, when Marilyn Monroe was still near her peak. Dual strikes would effectively bring the entertainment business to a halt, pitting more than 170,000 workers against old line studios like Disney, Universal, Sony, and Paramount, as well as tech juggernauts like Netflix, Amazon, and Apple. Quote, we are deeply disappointed that SAG-AFTRA has decided to walk away from negotiations. The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, which bargains on behalf of Hollywood companies, said in a statement, this is the union's choice, not ours, end quote. Though Hollywood had been bracing for a writer's strike since the beginning of the year, screenwriters have walked out 8 times over the past 7 decades, most recently in 2007, the actors' uncharacteristic resolve in recent weeks caught senior executives and producers off guard. Many of the actors' demands mirror those of the writers, including higher wages, increased residual payments, it's a type of royalty, from streaming services, and aggressive guardrails around the use of artificial intelligence to preserve jobs. Guild leadership also wants new regulations regarding self-taped auditions, a pandemic phenomenon that has resulted in significantly fewer live casting sessions. The Producers Alliance said the actors' union had dismissed our offer of historic pay and residual increases, substantially higher caps on pension and health contributions, audition protections, shortened series option periods, a groundbreaking AI proposal that protects actors' digital likenesses, and more. But sounds like the actors aren't willing to go for it, even though the producers offer all those things. Sounds like they may be walking out later today. Now what's going to happen? I imagine that it's this time of the year that many of those companies and those actors and writers are working on the TV shows that we would normally be watching in the fall when the new TV season starts. But it sounds like there's going to be a walkout. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you'll be back tomorrow morning for another Stu Daniels show starting at 8 o'clock. Have a great day.
This is my
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm